The Volume.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, October 28th, or it's Wednesday, October 27th. You know, it's a little read option. We'll see what date it is when you fucking get this podcast. Big episode. We've got Shea Serrano on, you know, obviously one of our favorite people out there. So definitely you want to stick around and check that out. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good buddies, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, have a good.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
I'm Guardy V, a.k.a. Mike. First of all, just right up top, we are bringing back Booger Boy of the Week and is going to Mr. White Collar on the Twitter, who was talking about Tyler's trajectory.
Trajectory.
Twitter. Dragonfly Space Jones.
Trajectory of Dragonfly Space Jones.
Jesus Christ, dog.
Fuck that guy.
I was telling y'all, I've never looked at a mouth and hated a mouth. Like, I hate every little piece of that motherfucker, dog. The fucking LinkedIn fucking picture he has for fucking Twitter. The trajectory of Dragonfly first name, Jones last name. Fuck that nigga, man. Crazy.
All right. Let's talk some biggest NBA surprises before we hop on with Shay. What's jumped out to you guys so far this season, you know, over the first week of the NBA season?
Bulls 4-0. I think that's a big shock. I think we all saw
they
the Bulls coming.
Nobody, though.
Yeah. I think we all saw 4-0
is 4-0, though.
4-0 is 4-0. You got it. You know,
first time since Michael Jordan was playing for the Bulls.
Yeah. You know, I think we all saw that the Bulls were going to be.
We going to mention MJ? Are we going to mention? Mike, you go. I hear you.
It's the first time.
First time. It is. It's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all saw that the Bulls, you know, we're going to be coming this season. But, I mean, they've been ridiculously good so far, you know what I'm saying, which kind of gives me hesitancy because I feel like when you think a team is going to be a sneak team and then they hop out the gate hot, it's like, okay, the fucking averages are going to average out sooner or later here, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see what this season has in stores for Chicago.
I don't, I mean, what have they been doing? I mean, Lonzo looked great. He looked great last year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think, I don't know, man. I don't see why it wouldn't have been what it is now based on the teams they're playing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be fun. We knew that. It's just better before we thought it was better. But I don't think it's any different than what we thought it could be right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
I think Zach is so much better. The gamble off of bringing ball. In some pieces, the gamble of bringing in some pieces was that Zach would be able to take a leap without everything being on his shoulders. And I think that has absolutely, they've been proven right on that gamble already, which for is sure. good news.
LaVine had to focus on, all he's focused on is getting buckets, nothing else. LaVine just getting buckets is, we know that's going to be good. You know what I mean? We know it's going to be better than good. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
John, what's your biggest surprise so far this season?
I got a couple of them, guys. Okay, I got a couple of surprises.
First of all, like, we knew
Ja was gonna like take a step after the fucking playoffs. You know what I mean? We knew that was gonna give him a boost for this year. But like, holy fucking shit! Yeah. You know what I mean? We're talking about like, there's conversations of Ja or Zion. If we had to pick today, who we taking? I know, Tyler, you said you're going with the dude that's, you know, going, you know, shooting 60% and going for 27 a game. I get that. You know what I mean? He's just never healthy. I don't know if him being healthy is going to change as he ages. You know what I mean? Maybe he'll figure out, you know, his health better, I guess. But I don't know. That doesn't quite make sense. But Ja, we just had a conversation, the top 100 in 25 years from now, and we were talking about Ja Morant, not Zion. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's crazy. So, and I think, like, the Hornets aren't just fun anymore. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and LaMelo is, that wasn't like, hey, we just having fun my first year. No, I think LaMelo, like, he's a fucking hooper. He says, this is his sixth year being pro, basically, or some shit like that. Like, at least his fourth year being pro, being honest. You know what I mean? He was overseas. But, I mean, that shocked the shit out of me. And I think, like, Jaylen Brown, bro. Like, I was surprised he got to the step he made last year. You know what I mean? Like, I know everybody was talking about he's going to be this, and I was like, we'll see. The year before that, he was good. Last year, he was an all-star. You know, this year, it's like, you know what I mean? You know, and he's exciting to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, efficient as fuck. That shocked the shit out of me so far, you know? So, those are my three things that shocked me at the beginning of the season.
You're such a fucking asshole. You're such a fucking dickhead. I have to come up with segments, John.
No, I'm making fun of me. I came with three things. I have three things, guys. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? You know,
that motherfucking Jaylen dunk on Bridges. Oh my God. Oh my God. What I loved about that was the shit talking that Jaylen did after that, because he's such a measured, calculating, you know, smart guy. And it's like he said, you know, he tells us the whole, you know, his hypothesizing and then he deepos the shit talking on the end, right? He goes, you know, I knew that if I went up with a layup, you know, my Bridges was gonna send my shit back to Boston. So I went up with the worst intentions, right? You know what I'm saying? Like he tells us, you know, the fucking risk-reward aspect of this equation, and then he talks his shit at the end, and I love that, man.
But, I mean, that's a fact, though. You go to shot blocker, you got to go at their ass, right at him. Yeah. You try to avoid him, he would have pushed that shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the fact that he dunked on Miles Bridges, that it's usually the other way. Miles is the one embarrassing niggas, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I respect the fuck out of Miles for jumping right there. Yeah. You had to jump, you know what I mean? I mean, his head almost fucking hit the rim when he tried to block that shit. But right. I mean, you got to talk a little shit as you dunk on Miles Bridges. You know what I mean?
Come on now.
Best rapper in NBA history. Not the best rap song. Best rapper. Shaq still has the best song.
Yeah.
Okay, stick around. We'll be back in a second with Shay.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball. We do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
you think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
The NFL season is approaching the halfway point, and FanDuel Sportsbook has a little something different to offer for the Sunday night matchup between Dallas and Minnesota. Because FanDuel is giving new customers 25-1 odds on any touchdown scored in the games. That means you can end the NFL Sunday right by winning $125 on a $5 bet. I am going to take the Vikings because I hate the Cowboys, and I'm so excited for the game because I hate the Cowboys and I love rooting against them even when they're good, which unfortunately they are. I will take Dak Prescott for my 25-1 odds on any touchdown scored in the games because he's having a great season and I know he's going to score. That's not so. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and they have fast payouts. They're now accepting Venmo as a payout option. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code JNJ this week before the Sunday night matchup. That's J&J. You could win $125 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code J&J so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only, $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're very excited to welcome one of our favorite guests, one of our favorite people on the internet and in the world, Shea Serrano, who is having a hell of a fucking week. He has a new book out, Hip Hop and Other Things, and you're going to make it a bestseller, or we're going to come to your house and beat you up. And his show was just picked up and greenlit for production that he's doing with Mike Schur. So, Shea, how are you doing, man?
I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling okay right now.
Feeling victorious about this motherfucker.
As of Wednesday, we'll see what happens this afternoon. But right now, feeling pretty good.
So how is the whole, you know, book launch grind? Like, is it exhausting? Is it fulfilling? Is it all of that shit or what? Like, what's the emotional roller coaster you're on right now?
It's a little bit of everything. Like, I'm certainly busier than I am normally. Mm-hmm. Most days, I just show up in my office, type some stuff into my computer, send some tweets, and then I go home. That's it from like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. When it's, you know, the week before and the week of book release, every day I've got interviews from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., different whatever. So it's tiring a little bit, but also it's always fun to talk about a thing that you just spent a year and a half working on and you're excited to get it out there. And but you're also terrified. What if everybody hates this shit? What if somebody says something bad about it, which inevitably always happens? What if, you know, you got a thousand things going on in your head all at the same time? But right now on this show, I'm feeling A-okay.
How do you balance all that out? You know what I mean? Because like being public facing, having 500,000 fucking followers, you see a lot of the good and the bad. You know what I mean? How do you mm-hmm. balance that out? You know, I know mentally that must be a struggle. You know what I'm saying? Even like, I know 100 people can say something good. One person says something bad. You want to pull up at their house and slap the shit out their ass. You know what I mean? Like, how do you not slap the shit out of a human?
That is exactly how it feels. You know what happened recently? So Bun B did the foreword for the book, for the Hip Hop and Other Things. And Bun B is one of my favorite rappers ever, like of all time. Sure. One of the smartest, most insightful people I've ever met, just even outside of rap, just like in my life, just getting to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And I was at an event one time and he was rapping, he was performing up on stage, and these two guys got into a fight right in front of him, like in the front row of the concert. He was performing the song Murder, which fucking rules. And so these two guys get into a fight while he's rapping to Murder. And you would assume, and like mostly everybody else in that situation, just they would have stopped rapping and they'd been like, hey, security, get these guys out of here. We got to keep this room safe or whatever bullshit like that. But he didn't do that. He just kept on rapping. He like looked right at him and then just kept going. And the two guys, you know, there's like a cadence to a fight. If you get into a fist fight with someone, you bump into them, they get mad, you get mad, they shove you shove them, somebody swings, you fight for 15 seconds, and then people pull you apart. That's how it's supposed to go.
Like, right,
that's
right, right.
That's the cadence of the fight. But that didn't happen here. They started fighting. He kept rapping. They were like, what the fuck is going on? And they just sort of stopped fighting. They just quit. They were just like, I guess we're done. And then the crowd like gathers back in and we just continue on with the show. And I asked Bun about it. Like, do you remember when this happened? Why did you not stop or say something? And he told me like he learned some lesson early on in his career. Too Short had told him, when you're up on stage and you have the microphone, wherever you direct your energy, that's where the crowd would direct their energy. So if you focus on the bad shit, everybody else will focus on the bad shit. Mm. So if I had tried to stop the fight, it might have spilled over. And then instead of two people fighting, we now have 8 people fighting and then 17 people fighting. And then it's a fucking very dangerous situation. So if I just don't address it, if I just focus on y'all, y'all will focus on me and it'll settle itself out. And it's like the same sort of thing on the internet. Like if I focus my energy on all the bad shit, that energy grows, is what it feels like. But if I only worry about the good stuff, or at least like only project the good stuff or, you know, amplify the good stuff, then it's better energy. So there you go.
Leave it to Bun B to teach lessons while rapping about murder. You know what I mean? What a fucking guy.
The king of moving chickens. Not no finger licking. Yeah. That's the
fun, man. It's the best verse in Southern rap history.
I think it's for sure the best Bun B verse. For sure.
It's the best overall. It's best verse in Southern rap. Find a better one. You can't.
I'm a big fan of MJG's verse on Bezel on T.I. on Trap Music.
Oh my God. I fucking can't even love put that, that in the same conversation. Get out of here.
Nah. Come on,
MJG
man. Come on,
is
man.
Slept on, though. You know what
Super
I'm saying?
Super slept on.
A-Ball yeah, was rapping, sure. too. He was for just sure. very, very problematic if you listen to it now. But you know what I mean? But like, A-Ball was fucking rapping, too, man.
Rapping.
He man. Was. But he wasn't doing what Bun B is fucking Game 6 Michael Jordan on that song. Like, you just, what can you do?
Yeah, we're talking about a god. Yeah, that makes sense.
Shay, I want to ask you about a book release. You've written, you know, obviously you've written a lot online. I know you started out writing for, you know, a newspaper. Books are fucking weird because, you, like you said, you worked on it for a year and a half with no mm-hmm. outside feedback, no, hey, I loved this or hey, this was really funny. Is yeah. that hard? I mean, I personally have found that about writing, but I don't like it. You know what I mean? It's like you're in your office working by you're working by yourself for a long time before you get that connection with a reader. Is that difficult for you? And does that make this week sort of, you know, more fun than when you have a big article or something drop?
It was definitely more difficult the first time that I did it because I wasn't used to it. At this point, this is my fourth one. I know what that process looks like. So I just sort of lean into it and it becomes like cool that I get to work on this one big project for 18 months that nobody else gets to see. The only other person who read anything, the editor of course has to read it. But even then I don't send them one chapter at a time. I write like 18 chapters before I turn them into them. Mm-hmm. And then I send them all at once. You know what I'm saying? So the only person who really got to see anything beforehand was, this guy named Dart Adams, he was a fact checker and the researcher for the book. He's a fucking rap historian genius.
Yeah,
he was the only one who saw anything ahead of time. And that was it. Arturo, the illustrator, every once in a while I would ask to read a thing as well. But I get to like get in my little bunker and only work on this thing. And it's just like, it just becomes like a fun little, like a secret that I'm doing. I don't even tell like anybody what the chapters are about. I didn't realize it until yesterday when the book came out that I never one time like put a chapter list out there or anything. I was just like, here's the whole fucking book, buy it or don't. but it's fun now because there are just so few other avenues where you get to just only be the voice in this one thing without any outside interference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
for sure. So, you know, the format of your whole And Other Things trilogy that you got, it's always the chapters are kind of mm-hmm. formed as questions, right? And so, you know, on the Sip Hop and Other Things, I'm looking at the chapter listing and it's got some really interesting questions, as do all of your books, which I love. They always come from left field, but they're always so fucking entertaining to read. Like one chapter is, what did the chickens have to say about Project Pat's chicken head?
Right? And yeah, also, you know, yeah.
yeah. And you know, when was Young Jeezy the most motivating on Thug Motivation 101? And you know, what's your favorite ninja rap moment? And I'm just mm-hmm. curious, where do you get the eye? Like, how do these questions and these premises for these chapters come to you?
Well, usually they're reverse engineered. So like, I have a thing that I know I want to write about in the book. Like with I knew I wanted to write about Thug Motivation 101. Number one, because it's one of my favorite albums of all time. And number two, because it was like a flag planting moment in rap. Mm-hmm. So let's write about that. And then it just becomes like, okay, well, if I know I want to write about that, how do I write about it in a way that hasn't already been written? That's the hardest part, is figuring out how to do a thing that hasn't been done yet. Because essentially, everybody who writes about rap is writing about like the same 15 things. We're all gonna write about Tupac and Biggie. We're all gonna write about Illmatic. We're all gonna whatever. Like they're the moments everybody's gonna write about. You have to figure out how to do it without doing the same thing someone has already done. So then you just sit there for fucking a few hours and you read every interview you can, and you read every review that you can, and you read every profile or that's been written. And then you just are trying to like find a way in, and eventually you figure something out. And sometimes it's like pretty easy with the Thug Motivation 101. The album is literally called Thug Motivation 101. The first thing you hear on the album is Young Jeezy yelling, "Let's get it." Like that's the point of the album. He's being motivational. Well, there you go. That's an easy one to fill in. That one took like 10 seconds. But the chickens one that you mentioned, what did the chickens have to say about Project Pat's chicken head? When you read the chapter, it's not really about the chickens and it's not really about Project Pat's chicken head song. Like, that's the entry point. But really what it's about is, like, what's the single most identifiable opening second of a rap song?
Yeah.
And then it becomes about that. But then you just, you know, you work backwards. You figure out the thing you want to write about, and then you just try some shit until you get to a good spot.
For sure. And the bass drop on Back That Ass Up gets my vote for that, by the way. So
yeah, this is a great one.
Yeah.
There's a chapter that debates, like, the best album of, like, I think 2010 to 2019.
Yeah.
Like Good Kid, Mad City, or like My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy. I wanted to know what, if like aliens came to this planet and you had to present an album from like the last three decades. I don't give a fuck about 80s rap. I'm gonna be honest with you. So like that's the fine. 90s.
a lot of people feel like that. That's, okay.
George Mike and rap to John. He does not fuck with the pivot.
Big
step.
Bob Cousy vibes, you know. Yeah.
I mean, I
dribbling left just with the to be right clear, hand, you know what I mean?
I think that's a mistake, but I understand.
I respect it. If you had to present a rap album to the aliens to, like, you know, prove our worth from the last three decades, which albums would you choose?
I get one album. Like, hey,
one
this
from
is
each
why
decade. Because I mean, saying the best album of 30 decades.
Oh, okay.
30 years
I got
is
you.
Rough, yeah.
I got you. Okay, so then let's include the 80s because it's going to take 5 seconds. If we go, from 1980 to 1989, give me Eric B. and Rakim Payne in Full.
Yes. Okay. I tried to get John on that. That's the one I was like, bro, if you don't like 80s rap, you will like this. He's like, nah, I still don't. Bro,
no,
because that was I don't know if I listened to it. I might not listen to it, bro. But I'll try it. I guess
that one's good. I feel like even if
you don't like 80s rap, you'll like Rakim because he's so fucking futuristic, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was the first guy who like understood he was rapping in a recording booth and not on stage.
Exactly.
So he wasn't doing what everybody else was doing. He was fucking.
Right.
He changed everything. He changed every single thing.
He jumped when he shot his jump shot, you're saying. He was jumping Joe. That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
You can't jump while playing shoot defense.
It. He brought the ball up to the top of his head and shot there it. There we go. He was like, oh, shit. Oh, we should do that.
But that's exactly the point. Like, all the rappers before Rakim, they were rapping for the party. Rakim was rapping for your headphones. You know what I'm saying? Like I always say, you know, Rakim, he was the meteor that killed the dinosaurs. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you don't like 80s rap, Rakim is the definitive marker on where, you know, the fucking game shifted.
Next but time John it ain't rains, trying to so rally, I'll tap in. Next time it rains, I'll tap in.
I'm going to hold you to that shit, man. Rakim's one of my favorites, though.
It's also a really good album if you have kids and you, like, still want to listen to rap. You can put that one on and you're 100% safe. Curse. You're 100%
that's a
safe.
That's a great recommendation, actually. I appreciate that. That's good. I just sort of gave it up with my son, who's in third grade now. We're just like, you know what? it is what it is.
But I'm going to be a big Moochie Gray being played in my car. She doesn't have to get used to it. So what are the other three albums? Yeah.
So from 1980 to 1989, we're going Eric B. and Rakim Paid in Full. 90 to 99 is the most difficult decision to make there. Because that's when rap exploded. That's when everybody did all of the new shit. Every year, you had A Tribe Called Quest in 91. You had Dr. Dre in 92. You had Snoop and Wu-Tang in 93. You had Nas in 94. Tupac, Biggie, Jay-Z, Lil' Kim, Missy Elliott, DMX. Like, motherfucker. You can pick any one of those. But I think if it's aliens we're talking about, you need it to sound a certain way. You need it to sound welcoming. You need it to sound like accessible to alien ears.
Okay.
I think it has to be. You can't play DMX. If you play DMX, they're fucking shooting bombs at us immediately.
Sure. I think I know where we're going.
Immediately. It's one of two things. It's one of two things. Same reason you can't play Wu-Tang. If you play Wu-Tang, if they hear fucking Protect Your Neck, they're just gonna slit your throat immediately. So it's either 1997, Super Duper Fly, Missy Elliott. Because I'm almost certain aliens have heard that.
I didn't think that.
Or Doggy Style, Snoop, 1993. The G-Funk is maybe my favorite subgenre of rap. They took all of the like harsh, sharp edge heaviness of gangster rap from the 80s and they just turned it into fun. It went from crack to weed and it was like let's put this on. They would like, I feel like they would like Nate Dogg a whole bunch. Who doesn't fucking love Nate Dogg? So there you go. There's your pick there.
Mike's penis is fucking floating right now. That shit is fucking just levitating.
My heart just grew 10 sizes on the Long Beach shout outs from Shay. Absolutely. G-Funk is like absolutely a genre of music where you're like, if the aliens are a microbacterial virus, or if they are like bigger than the sun, no living thing would not like G-Funk. No. Anything that can take music rules. In would love G-Funk. I'm with you on that.
I thought you
100%.
Might say Outkast too. I thought you might lean Outkast.
That's what I thought he was going to like the Twin Tower ATL and stuff. Yeah.
If we have to pick one single song, only one song ever, then it's Outkast. It's Elevators by Outkast. That's what it is. But a whole album, if you get that much real estate, I think Missy's Super Duper Fly is a safe bet there. Because it's 24 years old and we still haven't gotten to it yet.
You know haven't caught up yet. Nope.
Yep. We're so far behind. Okay, so there's 90 to 99. 2000 to 2009. Oof. You got a couple of good ones in there. The first one that comes to mind is Lord Willin' by Clips. I think that's a contender.
Now Tyler's penis is floating. A lot of floating penises. Nelly never gonna explode, bro.
Wake up in the morning for sensual rap recommendations with Shay Serrano.
Shay playing to the crowd right now. I love it, man. Yeah.
A lot of cop talk going on today.
So that's one of the options. I would love for them to hear Pusha T and Malice. You probably would consider Get Rich or Die Trying. A pivotal moment still that came out in 2002, 2003. Still no rap album has ever sold more copies than that one since that one came out. Like that's the top right there. That's a crazy rap stat. The when they did the double album,
Speaker Box Love Below.
When you sell that one, you get double credit. So like they. Okay. Technically, they had more sold, but really, they didn't.
I don't know if I've ever seen a rapper have a higher peak than 0357.
No, you didn't. I mean,
doing the same thing he beats with another rapper about, which is like singing on fucking songs. You know?
Yeah. It was the perfect rapper at the perfect moment because gangster rap had been dead since. Tupac and Biggie passed and since they were murdered. Everybody was like, well, I don't know if we feel like that anymore. And then Puff shows up and they're like, yeah, this is more fun. Let's do that. And then Eminem and, DMX was probably like the beginning of it again, but 50 Cent was like, here's how you make it fun. Anyway, Lord Willin', Get Rich or Die Trying. We talked about Thug Motivation 101. I think that might be my pick. I think Thug Motivation 101. Okay. I like the South. I'm a Southern guy. I'm a Texas boy.
Yeah.
I think the aliens are gonna feel good about that.
That's summer 05 when TM101 dropped. Bro. Oh my god.
Forget about it.
All the space. It took all the lanes. You know what I mean? It was incredible, dog. You know what I mean? No room for nothing else. Shocked the shit out of me.
And then I guess 2010 to 2019, I would probably go. I would probably go Good Kid, M.A.A.d City. Agreed. I think it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful album. It has so many parts and pieces to it. It does all of the stuff you need an album to do. You have, number one, the starring role in it. And I think this is why you picked this over My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, because Kanye was late in his career. He was doing his like redemption tour for the Taylor Swift debacle. He was like the master of the symphony. He had 1,000 pieces in there and he's showing you he can control all of them all at once. Meanwhile, Good Kid, M.A.A.d City is the opposite. It's just one kid at the beginning of his career and he's at the center of everything. And you just got a few people orbiting around him. You got the J-Rock verse that's on there. Come on, get the fuck out of here. It's like one long story that's told from the middle back to the end and then the beginning and then the middle again. It all fucking ties together. I think there you go. There's the four albums to play for the aliens. Thanks for listening, aliens.
Can I? It's such a funny question, John, because we, for whatever reason, that's like a question we ask is like, what movie would you show the aliens? Or like, what TV show? But we never think about like, if we find life on Mars, the first thing we're doing is like, what's your best album? Like, we only think about it with people coming here and the aliens are like, it's a new world. They have these things called trees. And the first thing they are is like, you got any good TV shows?
Yeah. That's just how dumb humans are. They show up with lasers and proton blasters. And we're like, hey, Seinfeld. You want to listen to Nas? You want to hear Illmatic? Check this out. That's how stupid we are.
I think aliens would actually appreciate music because I view like this, because if you're advanced enough to fucking master interstellar travel, right? Math is the core of your whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Like you are a species that is devoted to math, and music at its core is a fucking algorithm. You know what I'm saying? It's a fucking pattern. It's repetitive. It's an algorithm. And I think that if you appreciate math, even if you've never even heard music before, you're like, holy shit, what is this? This is sounding the same on the same cycle. You know, I hear the fucking the formula in this. I think that aliens would appreciate music. I really do.
I think you're alien, bro. I think you're alien for saying that shit, bro. Because I think alien music would sound like bleep, blorp, blorp. I think
that's what I was thinking too.
You know what I mean? It would sound like when you signed on a computer, like in fucking the 90s and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It would be that one sound. Did y'all ever see War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise?
Yes.
And there's like that giant noise. It just goes. That was probably them playing their best song. They're like, hey, check this out.
This is our best album. Right. That's math music to me. You know what I mean?
That might be a better play. We're thinking about it from humans. We should maybe think about it from like alien. We should probably play like Tech N9ne. And they're fucking probably love Tech N9ne.
That'd be so in.
Yeah,
Tech N9ne. So in on Tech N9ne.
Kansas City's finest. I'm good on Tech N9ne.
Shay, so, you know, we mentioned obviously a big week is, you know, you're pushing the book. Definitely everyone make sure you go get Hip Hop and Other Things. We're trying to close out the trilogy with another New York Times bestselling list.
Yeah, baby.
Tyler's showing the book off. I'm going to go get it on Friday. We're under the deadline for the bestseller on Friday, right?
Saturday is the last day. That's how it works. Books come out on Tuesday.
You have to buy the book by Saturday.
You have until Saturday.
You have to fucking go to the store and
buy it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so, but the other big news, as we mentioned up top, is, you know, you have a show in development, which is, you were just talking about the book being the one person focused on it for 18 months. I know TV is the exact opposite. There's 70 people focused on it for however long. What's that experience been like for you? Is that kind of the direction you're looking to push from now on? Or are you still just kind of trying, you know, everything that comes to you that you can get your hands into?
Yeah, I'm just trying to do as much shit as I can. You don't know if you like a thing or don't like a thing until you try to do the thing. And so with the TV show stuff, We actually pitched that show in 2017 for the first time. Me and this guy named Mike Schur. Mike is like a TV mastermind.
Yep.
The Good Place, The Office, Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Every good TV show you can think of the last 10 years, he was in it. He was a part of it. He created it or whatever. So Mike and I, we went and pitched this show in 2017. We pitched it to the four major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. And then luckily we got like offers from all four of them. So we started developing it then for ABC. And you go through like a process where you write a script. They give you some notes. You touch it up. You turn it in. And then you cross your fingers and hope. TV stations, like once a year, they will just buy up like 50 scripts. And then they pick of those 50, like three or four to make a pilot of. And then of those three or four, they pick like one to turn into a full-on TV show. I think that's how it works. This is my first time through all of this.
Okay.
I could have just made all of that shit up. But so we worked on it for ABC. We got to the pilot part, and then that was the end of it. And they were like, you know, great try. Thanks a lot. See you later. And then that was the end. And I was like, all right, cool. And then during the pandemic, I got a fucking email from this guy named David, who is like one of those guys who moves in the shadows. And you find out like this is the guy who does everything.
He's one of those David, TV vampires. Yeah, for sure.
David is like a genius. Everybody loves and respects David. And he just showed up in my inbox and he's like, hey, do you still want to do that show that we were working on? And I said, well, if you and Mike are involved, like, yeah, I definitely want to do it. Because everybody kept telling me like how horrible Hollywood was. And then I got to work with those two guys. And they're like the nicest, most sincere, most like collaborative people. So I said, yeah, if y'all want to do it, I want to do it. And he's like, okay, cool. I think I'm going to like try to work on it. And then shortly thereafter, they're like, all right, we're going to do a mini room. 10 weeks, we're going to work on it. We're going to hire 9 writers. We're going to write 4 scripts and a show Bible. And we're going to turn it in to this place called IMDb TV, which is Amazon. Like if you go on Amazon Prime, that's where
it's
it is.
Amazon Prime. Right?
It's just Amazon Prime, but it has commercials in it or something. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. So we did that. We worked on it for the 10 weeks. We hired our 9 writers. And then we turned in those 4 scripts to the bosses. And then we waited. And then, you know, we waited like a month or so. And then finally, I got a phone. I got an email. My sons and I were at this anime Tokyo shop in San Antonio because they're super into anime. So we're down there. We're looking at fucking Naruto and Hunter Hunter and whatever, all of the shit, One Punch Man, Dragon Ball Z. We're just like shopping, and I get an email and it says, "Hey, can you be on the phone in like 20 minutes? Because the network wants to talk." And this was at 7:45 at night, and I was like, "Well, there's no way this is good news because they're just like, this is you set a meeting early on in the day and in the week for like good news, and then late in the week and late in the day for bad news." And I was like, all right, cool. And I like got all prepared to be devastated. And then I got on the phone and they were like, hey, great news. We're going to make this show. And I fucking lost my mind. I was like going crazy. They're like, we're actually going to like make it. Like we're going to shoot it. We're going to cast actors and make the thing. And they were like, yes.
Right.
I said, let's fucking go. This is great. So and now that's what we're doing.
That's awesome. What's the premise, if you don't mind sharing, or if you're keeping shit under wraps, I get that too. But
no, the premise is the show's called Primo, and it's about a high school junior. He's the first one in his family who has like the chance to graduate high school. Like that's how the pilot starts, with him just finding this news out. Hey, you got a chance here. He lives with his mom. His dad is out of the picture. He lives with his mom. She didn't graduate. His dad didn't graduate. But the mom has 5 brothers, these 5 uncles who have been like surrogate father figures to this kid since he was born. And each one of them has a different kind of personality. And so they all like have ideas about what his life should look like as he grows into adulthood. And so now he's trying to figure out how to like, what do I do about college? What do I do about this girl that I like? And all of the uncles are like all giving him advice from these different, it's like if you were driving and 5 other guys are like trying to grab the steering wheel and get you, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's the show. There you go.
Sure. I can't fucking wait to watch that shit, honestly.
Yeah. It's going
to
be good. It's going to be
that
so
sounds like
good.
My type of show. Yeah, that sounds great.
It's
going to
be really, really good. Listen, so what I did, this is like my strategy. Anytime I work on a thing, I'm like, well, let me get some people who are smarter and more talented than I am and then just get the fuck out of the way. So when we were hiring the writers, I was just looking for people who were smarter and funnier than me. And then we got in the room and you're all just pitching jokes and ideas and writing scripts. And I was like, let me just stand in the back and like not mess this up. You know what I'm saying? let me be James Jones on the Miami Heat. Let me like, they'll go do all the work and then I'll come in and hit like 2 shots and I get a championship ring.
You're
too.
A glue guy. You're
that
a glue guy.
Yeah, I'm a glue guy. This has been my like ethos for my entire life. I never wanted to ever be like the star of the team. I just wanted to be on the back of the bus after the game on the way back home, like making jokes with everybody. That's my role. That's my role on the team.
I don't the John know, Sally of
the shit. That's how you designed your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I. That's, smart. That's where I'm aiming, always.
For sure. So, you know, a big part of your And Other Things trilogy, of course, is the illustrations. You know, Arturo mm-hmm. Torres is fucking amazing. You know, mm-hmm. I love his art. So how did that partnership come about? You know, that's the Pimp C to your Bun B, you know, the Timbaland to your Missy.
Yeah.
In this trilogy.
That's my guy.
So how did that partnership, friendship come about?
So the very first book that I did, the Rap Year book, when I pitched it originally, this was in 2000, and I pitched in 2013, I think. I told them, hey, I'm going to write everything and I'm going to draw everything because I like to draw. And I had just done the coloring book. Like, I know how to do the thing. And they said, okay, cool. We're going to give you a year to write the book. And I said, all right, that works for me. But when you pitch a book, like you have to already write like two chapters, like sample chapters. And when I did those took me 2 days to do because I had already, I just wrote about songs that I knew, songs that I had already researched and written about previously. So it took me 2 days to write those chapters. And they're like, all right, well, we need, you know, we're going to give you a year. I was like, I don't fucking need a year. I need like 3 weeks. So I didn't do any work at all for like 8 months, 9 months, 10 months. I didn't even start it. And then the, you know, 9 months come around and I sit down to write the DMX chapter. And then it ended up taking me like a week because I had to read his autobiography. I had to watch all the documentaries. Suddenly I was like in book research mode. I'd never done it before. And I'm like, well, fuck, there's no way that I can write this and illustrate it. So I had to find an illustrator. I was looking everywhere I could on the internet. And I just so happened to come across a flyer that this group out of Dallas called The Outfit Texas, very great rap group. They had put a flyer out for a show and it had some art on there. And when I saw the art, I was like, oh yeah, this is exactly like what I'm looking for. Who is this person? There's no name on the flyer. So I hit up them. I asked them, hey, who did this? They said, oh, we don't know. Ask the manager. I hit up the manager. I said, hey, who did this? She was like, oh, it's this guy named Arturo Torres in Dallas, Texas. And I was like, when I heard the name, I was like, that's a fucking Mexican ass name right there. That's a Mexican. I know it. 17 Arturo Torreses. And so she connected me to him. I got him on the phone. I said, hey, this is what I want to do. I think you should draw these pictures for me. I'm going to give you a little bit of money and then we're going to like go make a book. And it took me a while to talk him into it. But after a bit, he was like, all right, cool. Let's give it a shot. Because he was at the very, very start of his career too. He was like still working at Urban Outfitters. He was doing flyers on the side just for a little bit of extra money. He was not like an official artist. This was the first big thing he did. It was the first big thing I did. But that's how it started. And then, you know, when it was time to do another book, he was the first call I make. And he just kept getting better and better and better. If you look at the art in the Rap Yearbook, he'll be the first one to tell you it's fucking terrible. I feel the same way about the writing. If you read it, it's fucking awful. But we were growing together. And now he's one of the best artists in the country. He's doing like gigantic basketball court sized murals for Nike. He's like all over the world. He's drawn for Google, like every big place you could think of. He's fucking running shit now. It's been great to watch. I can't wait to have the conversation where I can't afford him anymore because it's coming. It's going to get there eventually. We're not there yet, but we'll get there.
I love the flyer story. It's like a band in the 90s looking for a drummer or something. You know what I mean? That might be the last business connection made via physical paper in the history of the country. That might have been the final one. You know?
It's great. He has a copy of it too somewhere still. He saved it. It's awesome when you look at it.
That's dope.
Yeah.
I actually have Arturo piece. That's Sade piece right there. That's Arturo piece. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He's very talented.
You posted a picture of like him and Busta Rhymes pushing Michael Myers. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
This makes no sense. But of course it makes sense with them too. You know, y'all are such a fire ass collaboration.
Yeah. That's what I really like about him. He's such a movie nerd, a comic book nerd. That he just is always trying to do some weird shit and it fits with the stuff that I'm writing. We'll do this. I say, yeah, let's do that.
I got a question about the Spurs.
All right.
Great game last night. Love the great game last night.
Terrible.
I want to say this, man. Without Bron too. Pop is basically running the Spurs organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys stink. Is it finally time? Is it finally time, like, for Pop to, you know, give up the reins a little bit? What are we thinking as a Spurs fan?
I think the guy who won you 5 championships, you trust him until he says, I don't want to be trusted anymore. That's all it is. The roster that we have now, this is not a roster that you put together to go make it to the second or third round of the playoffs. This is a roster you put together so that in 3 years, you're contending again for 7 years straight. Like that's what's happening. That's what's happening right now. I feel like, do y'all watch Succession?
Yes.
I tapped in this week actually.
Okay. So always in the beginning of the season, they spend like the first two or three episodes setting up all of the pieces, and then they pay it all off. They're like the last few, it's like a fucking sprint. It's incredible. That's how the first season worked. The second season worked. That's how this one is working too. I think the same thing is happening here with the Spurs. Pop is setting everything up so that when he's like, all right, I'm done. Here comes whoever he brings in to be the new head coach.
Becky.
We're set up. We're set up. Hopefully Becky. We're set up for the next 10 years or whatever. It's going to be great. You'll see. You'll see.
Very positive. I love it, man.
I love it. I love it too.
That's another question. You had was it Shea Serrano Knight? What did you do with the Spurs? I know you.
I just went to a game.
Okay.
I just went to a game and took a picture. It was not Shea Serrano Knight.
They gave out. Well, didn't they have you film something too?
Yeah. So they asked me to do the like beginning of the season sort of hype up video that they play to start everything off, and then it's on. It's like a commercial in the city or whatever for a while. So I got to be the voiceover for that, which was really neat. And so that's what it was. They did that for the first game of the season. They play that at the start. And then I went to the second game when they played the Bucks, or maybe it was the third game. I don't quite remember. But I wanted to go see Giannis. And I was like, hey, let's, you know, I went to take the it's just fun to go with your family to the basketball game. My kids are super into basketball right now as well, which is great. My sister's kids, the nieces, one of them plays basketball as well. She was really into it. We fucking met RC Buford. Here's how much of a basketball nerd she already is. She's only like 11, 10 or 11. No, she's 10. She knew who RC Buford was when he like came in. Yeah.
That's
my
wild.
Laramie didn't know. My sister didn't know.
That's great.
I knew, my dad knew, and my fucking niece, my tiny niece, Jada. She was so excited.
I cannot pick that dude out of my... He's a guy who I know who he is by his name, but I have no idea what he fucking looks like.
Oh, yeah. I know what he looks like. And he walked in, and I was like, holy fucking shit. What up, R.C. Buford? This is crazy.
R.C. Buford?
I just have to imagine, though, that for a dude like you, who's like a regular person in a good way, that like the Spurs asking you to do a voiceover has to be cooler for you than the New York Times bestseller list, right?
It's 100%. Well, I would have traded all. I'd trade it all in just to be up on the Jumbotron one time. The Spurs do. The San Antonio is a very Latino town, and so like, you know, you go to different arenas. They have different, like they have the Kiss Cam. They have the Lion King Baby Cam, which is one of my favorite ones, where you hold the baby up while they play the theme song from Lion King. But the Spurs have a cumbia cam. Cumbia is like a dance that you do, like this Mexican dance. It's fucking great. And that's when I got to be up on the Jumbotron, and it was the best thing that ever happened in my life. Like the number one thing.
Legend shit.
That's awesome. I think that's the time we've got. Shay, thank you so much for hopping on, man. We really appreciate it. Everyone go get Hip Hop and Other Things. You have until Saturday, or Jenkins and Jones is coming to your house to fight you. We're sending the AOT trilogy off with another New York Times bestseller. So go get it now. Shay, thanks again for hopping on. All right, our thanks to Shay for hopping on with us. Always great when he stops by. And how crazy to drop a book in a fucking TV development, you know, a TV green light deal on back-to-back days. That's the fucking biggest testicle drop I can imagine.
What a fucking week. Shouts to Shay, man. Good to see good things happening to good people, man.
Yes.
For sure. You remember that fucking meme of that kid waking up looking surprised, and they're like, oh, you're surprised your Beyonce's shot? This is Beyonce's shot. I think, like, this is him. That's him when he wakes up, like, oh, shit, I'm Shay. Every morning, like, shocked. Like, oh, shit, that, you know, that's me. I'm the nigga they talking about, you feel me? And good for him. I love that nigga.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so definitely go get Shay's book. One last plug for that. And we will see you on Monday or Sunday night, depending on how it all goes. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wait. Okay, post bye. I love that someone tweeted at us that they say bye with us, and then they go right back to working as like the saddest shit ever.
We have the best people that fuck with us, G. They're funny as fuck. You know what I mean? They're cool as hell.
All right. So what, this is your second bye to brighten your work day up. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.